Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The churches of Germany today are empty because when push came to shove in the moment of crisis, we Christians looked the other way, we backed down, we shut up.
Atheists know deep in their heart that God does exist and are trying so hard to remove that knowledge of God.
This is part of the anti-catechism. The devil's always giving us a mirror image of the truth. There's always going to be a nice-looking, sinful alternative to the church.
Whether you just lost your husband or your house or you just won the lottery, you'd get the same comfort of the gospel, that Jesus is for you.
Hi, this is Steve and Sarah in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Long-time listeners and first-time grandparents in Wisconsin love Issues Etc.
Have you ever wondered why many veterans who have seen war, they're deeply proud of their service to the country and to their fellow man, but they often don't want to talk about their experiences in war? Why is this? I mean, they're painful memories, but I have met men, had long relationships with men and women, only to find out after years that they served in the military. They don't wear it on their sleeve. They don't hide it, but they don't seek a lot of recognition for it. Why is this? What about military service produces this kind of person? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Just coming off Veterans Day, we're going to get a veteran's perspective on Veterans Day. Jake Domick will join us. He's a veteran of the Afghan War. Dr. Daniel Pavlo will join us after that. We'll be exploring God's forgiveness. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. Then in hour two, it's part three of our series on prayer. Today, prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Pastor David Peterson of Gottesdienst will be alongside. Joining us to get a veteran's perspective on Veterans Day, Jake Domick. He's a veteran of the Afghan War and author of a column for The Federalist titled How Veterans Like Me Want Americans to Celebrate Veterans Day. Jake, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pastor Wilkin.
What do you say when your fellow citizens thank you for your service as a veteran?
So I came up with responses. Honestly, it took me a couple of years to come up with because when people say thank you for your service, when I first got out, I was honestly kind of, I didn't know what to say back. But it's like what I wrote in my article, right? I say, it was worth it for Americans like you. Because I say that because it was worth it for Americans. That's why I went. That's why I volunteered to go fight, go serve in the war. It's interesting when I say that response because, honestly, I find about 50% of the time people don't know how to respond back to saying it was worth it for them, because I think in our culture today, we've kind of lost touch of the idea of selfless service.
Tell us about your time in the military.
So I was a Ranger with 3rd Ranger Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, which, if viewers don't know, that's one of our nation's premier special operations raid forces that has been continuously deployed in support of the global war on terror since October 2001. While I was a Ranger, I deployed twice to Afghanistan as a member of a joint special operations task force whose goal was to target and eliminate enemy and foreign terror networks and degrade their abilities to conduct operations both in Afghanistan and worldwide. I think you know this from our talk, feels like a century ago since COVID, but talk back at the Issues Etc. conference in 2019. You know, I would say war made me a Lutheran because I wasn't a Lutheran when I joined the military. I actually discovered Luther's small catechism on my first deployment that my dad gave me that got shoved down into my rucksack. And then I somehow ended up with 3 episodes of Issues Etc. downloaded to my iPod that I was just listening to in our hooch at night when we'd be sleeping in between conducting operations. And, yeah, I mean, the war made me a Lutheran. If you told me when I was 19, sitting in a hooch in Afghanistan that, you know, almost a decade later ban Issues Etc., I probably would not have believed you.
Many veterans who've seen war, and as yourself, they're deeply proud of their service, but they often don't want to talk in detail about their specific experiences in war. Why is this, Jake?
So I think this comes from kind of this twofold way of looking at it, right? I always like relate combat kind of right to being a parent, right? I'm not a parent, but every parent I ever know says it's a life-changing experience, and you can't really understand it until you go through it, right? You can't truly understand how much you love your children until you have one. And it's the same thing with war, but it's kind of on the other edge, right? It's something you go through, you see that these are things you just can never forget. As much as you may want to, you just never will, right? The memories fade with time, but they never fully go away. And I think that comes from the reluctance a lot to talk about war, because war is this double-edged sword, right? It's the worst and best times of your life, honestly, right? You're never so committed to something than you are working as a unit in war. But at the same time, you see the worst of humanity itself. I think the Greek historian Thucydides said it best, right? War is the thin veneer of society being torn away. And you see that worst of humanity, and you just don't see it in others, right? You see it in yourself. You see this come to the forefront of your own being. You see you are capable of things you would not think you were capable of before. And that's where I think this reluctance comes when talking about wartime experience, because you can't really explain it if you can't fully understand. And you can only fully understand war if you've actually been there. You can read as much as you want. You can get an insight, but you can never fully understand unless you go and experience it for yourself.
You talk about that sense of unity and commitment when you're working as a unit for a cause. Do you miss that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was probably the thing you end up missing most, is especially me coming out of the Special Operations community, the Ranger Regiment. You come from the tip of the spear of what America can put forth. Very driven individuals, very highly dedicated in everything they do, very passionate. And then you're there one day, and then you're out. And you're just amongst a population that just doesn't have as much of that drive, which can kind of wear on you because you're just so used to performing at such a high level. So, yeah, I would say you do come to miss it and stuff.
Is that part of what makes a transition to civilian life so difficult for many veterans?
I think it's that, but I think it's also in America today, we've lost our ability to relate both civilians and veterans to one another. I think that has multiple factors included in it, but I think it has to do with, you know, the global war on terror has been fought for 2 decades. But if you look at statistics, I mean, I think it's less than 1% of the population went to go fight in the war, which makes it very hard to find people who experienced it or have similar experience. And then we have a culture that's forgotten the idea of service, sacrifice, the willingness to, you know, set everything aside and just volunteer and go. And then I think I've noticed this, I guess it's more personal anecdotal evidence, but I've noticed within Global War on Terror veterans of Iraq, Afghanistan, there is this growing sense of kind of being this lost generation because there's so few within the actual American populace at large. You kind of have this feeling that you're kind of almost isolated because most people don't pay attention to the news. Afghanistan's more of a headline, anything to do with politics, scoring political points. But for those that went, right, it's a place you think about generally every day. You will never forget that place that changed you. And that's where I see this kind of growing sense of inability to relate now, because if you look, I mean, we have veteran-run companies ever that cater towards veterans, and we have a civilian population that I would say more than not tends to kind of almost stay away, almost like it doesn't almost want to have to relate. And that's where you see kind of now growing is this kind of growing warrior class versus civilian class, especially in the special operations community. You can see this all over the place. I mean, the special operations community is filled with family members. If you probably took a poll, well over 50% would, if asked if they have a, you know, siblings serve in the military or in the special operations community like myself, you would raise your hand and say, yeah, your brother's also in it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is what is kind of driving this difficulty for so many veterans to transition back, because we've lost this ability for us to find our common theme and understanding as Americans.
You write about having memories, sometimes terrible memories, triggered at unexpected times. Now that you've re-entered civilian life, talk a little bit about that, if you would, Jay.
Yeah, so I put that part in the article, just some personal anecdotal kind of stuff to kind of make it a little more real. But I think it's kind of one of those things that I think we have projected kind of through Hollywood and the media what we think post-traumatic stress is, and it's not often what we always want it to appear. So I talked about just walking through college and just noisy halls. And I was trying to hint at, like, you know, I'd be sitting in before lectures and kids would be arguing about, oh, the war, blah, 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 this is what war is like. I'd be like, no, it's not. But it's this inability to understand, right, the horrors of war, the reality of it, right, which is, you know, young men die. That is the reality of war. Young men lose their lives in often unfortunate ways. So that is what I was trying to hint at that article. But two, it's also, I think, goes back to, right, the Lutheran Church itself, right? So I always, you know, practice, you know, I have a meditations I do before I go receive the Lord's Supper. And one of those things is I do as I kneel at the altar is, you know, I wear a silver bracelet with two names inscribed on it, which was the two men my unit lost on my first deployment. And before I go to receive the Lord's Supper, I always look at that. And I always meditate, you know, Satan would have used, right, the horrors of war to rip me away from the faith. But here right now, right, Christ is coming with his medicine of immortality, right, to heal that and to remind me, right, you know, all is forgiven, right? Here I am in my true body and blood here to deliver you deliverance from sin, death, and the devil.
We're getting a veteran's perspective on Veterans Day. Jake Domick is our guest. He's a veteran of the Afghan War. He says that the best way to thank a veteran is to simply live a good life, a life of love and service to your neighbor. We'll find out why right after this.
I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines. Sleep in peace tonight. American soldier.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our trek through St. Matthew with the Canaanite woman, healings and the feeding of the 4,000, demand for a sign, leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the confession of St. Peter. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house. A charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crusum's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made. Right here in Colorado, we offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrusum.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Coming off our nation's observation of Veterans Day, we're getting a veteran's perspective on Veterans Day. Jake Domick is our guest, a veteran of the Afghan War. Jake, why do you say that the best way to thank a veteran is to simply live a good life, a life of love and service to your neighbor?
So I said that because I think that is honestly the best way. I mean, I always appreciate when people thank me for my service, but it's kind of like the life I live now as a civilian. A lot of people always ask me, like, what keeps you going in the day? Well, I'm living a life because friends of mine didn't get to come home and have that life. An earlier draft of that, my article I wrote, you know, these are men that are unchanged by time's passage, right? Men who belong to war forever, right? Because men who do die, they truly do almost, in a sense, belong to war forever. So I'm now living the life they never got to enjoy. And so I always say this almost comes back to third use of the law, right? Guiding us on how we should live. And we should live a good life because there are men who literally lost everything who are not going to get to live that life. So we have a responsibility to live a life for them. And we do that by serving our neighbors in little actions.
You say that you are not a hero but a survivor. What do you mean by that?
So I'm not a hero because I didn't do anything heroic, right? I just did my job. I did what my country asked of me. I fulfilled the orders of the officers and non-commissioned officers over me. And I say I'm a survivor, right, because I made it home, right? The war is always going to remain somewhere in the back of my mind, right, on a daily basis. But I came back. I survived. But it's a common trope, but I fully agree with it, right? The real heroes are the men who never made it home, right? They gave their last full measure for their friends next to them. And then that's the reality of it. Those are the men who are the real heroes. Men like me, we just did our jobs. We did what we were expected. We volunteered to be there, fully knowing the hazards of our chosen profession. So that's why I say I'm not a hero, I'm just a survivor. The real heroes are, you know, the thousands of young men, especially in the last two decades of conflict, but in every conflict that, you know, really put it all on the line and gave it up for their friends next to them.
I have noticed with older veterans that they're not secretive, but they don't call attention to their years of service. Sometimes you have to have a long conversation with them before about who they are and what they've been doing before they'll tell you, oh, I was in the service, or I did this, or I did that. Although it is very, very valuable to each and every one of them, why is this? Why a tendency not to hide it, but to just see it as a part of their life?
Well, I think this comes from, right, this is the nature of military service in itself, right? It's service for a reason. You don't go serve to bring attention to yourself. You do it because you felt you had an obligation and a duty to go do it. And that's why I don't think a lot of people go out hunting for attention, because it would be the wrong thing to do, right? We're all just small parts in a big war, and we just did our jobs, right? We didn't do anything that wasn't unexpected of us. We were all expected to show up, do our jobs, and we did them. There's actually a great film. It's based off a book. It's called Flag of Our Fathers. I think it came out about 2006. directed by Clint Eastwood, but it talks about, it's the story of the flag raisers at Iwo Jima, right? And the plot line of the movie is the son discovering his father's experience in the battle. But I think, honestly, I have the quote pulled up here, but it's one of the last lines of the movie. But I think he really summarizes why people don't want to draw attention to their service. So the line goes, "I finally came to the conclusion that maybe he was right. Maybe there's no such thing as heroes. Maybe there are just people like my dad. I finally came to understand why they're so uncomfortable being called heroes. Heroes are something we create, something we need. It's a way for us to understand what's almost incomprehensible, how people could sacrifice so much for us. But for my dad and these men, the risks they took, the wounds they suffered, they did that for their buddies. They may have fought for their country, but they died for their friends, for the man in front, for the man beside him. And if we truly wish to honor these men, we should remember them the way they really were, the way my dad remembered them." And I think that quote really gets to the nature of this. We did our jobs. We did it for our friends next to us. We weren't expecting ticker tape parades or large welcomes home. We did what was expected of us when the time called upon it. And there's no need to call attention to that, because it was just something that was expected and we were glad to fulfill, because we weren't going to let down our friends next to us.
Finally, how did you observe Veterans Day, Jake?
So I observed Veterans Day. I went on a ruck march, so I put a 45-pound pack on my back and walked a couple miles. But then I just kind of meditated on everything I had experienced and how much it meant to me. I mean, I wrote in the article, right, talking about that deep plunging blade that war puts into your soul, but it truly does unite you with men across the centuries, right? I mean, I would say my dad's a combat veteran. He fought in a different conflict than I did, but, you know, the moment I stepped off the plane back on pre-deployment leave from my first deployment, yeah, I never felt closer to my dad than I had ever before that point, right? It unites men across the centuries together, because it is a one shared common experience of having been there. You see things, but it unites your souls together with others.
Jake Domick is a veteran of the Afghan War. He is author of a column for The Federalist titled "How Veterans Like Me Want Americans to Celebrate Veterans Day." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Jake, thank you.
Thank you.
We will be exploring God's forgiveness, various facets of it, with Dr. Daniel Pavla, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, next. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, O-K-M-U-L-G-E-E, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Gloria Dei Lutheran, Davie, Florida. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. Living Faith Lutheran, Cumming, Georgia. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. St. John Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Bridger, Montana. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.